Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello and welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. This is a cutting edge vessel of courses and programs for women architects who are longing to bridge spirit with form and are ready to build and birth the sanctuaries of our new earth. So today I want to talk about a beyond green approach that architects aren't talking about. And architects in conventional practice, in mainstream practice, have not been talking about it as long as they have been called architects. But there was a past in humanity where we were talking about this beyond green approach. We were living with it. We were breathing with it. We were walking this beyond green approach. And when you Google beyond green, I did a bit of research before starting this podcast, and beyond green is about a regenerative principle in sustainable design. Okay. It includes circular design. It includes a vision and a plan to not only create, let's say, a net zero building or a living house or a, you know, an energetically efficient building or city. It takes it 2, 3, 4, 10, 50 notches further and says, okay, well, how is this building going to contribute to our thriving new earth where regeneration is at the forefront, right? So thinking about, you know, creating cities that multiply their, let's say, their green spaces, their multiply food production, let's say, right? Organic food production. And as the years go on, there's more nourishment, more abundance moving forward. All amazing. We need all of these practices in architectural design. And for a long time, you know, architects are now actually integrating sustainable design principles. And if they're really good architects, they're thinking about these regenerative principles in architecture. But today, not going to be talking about those. I've been actually at a university in Izmir in Turkey. I've taught sustainable architecture and building. I myself love building with natural materials like straw bale, and haven't built with hempcrete yet, but I've designed a few projects where we proposed to use hempcrete. I love working with natural plasters like clay, natural lime like Tadlact, and working with natural building principles is is part of my the sacred blueprint practice, certainly. But that is only one side of the coin. And this is the Beyond Green approach that no one's talking about that I want to dive into you, dive into with you today. Just let me take a sip of water here. There's so much I want to talk about, and I feel like I'm going to need to break up this episode in a few sessions. So what is this Beyond Green approach? Well, it is an approach where the world of spirit and the subtle realms of nature and nature's intelligence is an active or are an active participant in the design process. And this is very much the root, foundation, the core impulse of the Sacred Blueprint, which is my signature system. I've been supporting property owners and land stewards to birth their dream sanctuaries through this new modality that bridges spirit with form. And so it involves being in tune with the energetics of place, being in tune with geomantic phenomenon, so investigating geomantic phenomenon on people's properties. It involves an approach where my clients are connecting with their own souls, with their own their higher selves, their dreams, their visions, their goals, as well as their hearts. And I invite them through meditative journeys, very specific step-by-step exercises to get really clear on the what optimal blueprint will suit their own energetic frequency, their own energetic signature energy. And it also involves connecting and communing with the spirit of place. And the spirit of place is very much connected to Mother Earth. And the Sacred Blueprint is about acknowledging the fact that Mother Earth is a living, breathing being. She is not just a mass of earth. She is not just material. And that humanity's evolution, humanity's unfoldment, humanity's awakening, humanity's growth and thriving, in fact, is dependent on the growth and thriving and evolution of the being of Mother Earth. Are the beings in the cosmos involved in all of this? Absolutely. And so the spiritual realms, the hierarchies, the higher realms rather, are also involved in this process. Sounds pretty deep, and it's a reclamation. It's a reclamation back to who we truly are. It's a coming home to the fact that human beings are spiritual beings, and all of matter is actually the last manifestation, the last step in the mystery of creation, the physical manifestation of that. That's matter. That's our physical world, the land, right? Our properties, ourselves. But that there is an energetic truth, an energetic blueprint behind the physical world, or behind the physical thing, correct? Some of you may be new to these laws, and just new to exploring the world of spirit. For some of you, this is basic knowledge. Some of you are seasoned in your spiritual growth, your spiritual investigations and explorations. And so that world, that energetic blueprint, is the mystery part of creation. And this piece of the puzzle has been missing for a long time, especially in Western conventional practice, architecture practice. I would say that the East still continued on their traditions of feng shui, vastu shastra, for example, in the process of project planning, in the process of construction. There's still, big, developers in the East that will never not consider hiring a feng shui expert to consult regarding whether or not this a certain property is worth purchasing or not. They'll do a feasibility study with the feng shui expert's advice in mind, okay? Same with other traditions. And so there's still a respect for what I feel is the feminine principle. So the feminine principle, I've been really reflecting on this. Well, how does the feminine principle show up in our lives, in the history of humankind, actually in society, as well as where has she been repressed? And for me, I've been reflecting on where I grew up, born and raised in Canada, born and raised in Toronto. And I was always a very sensitive being. And I was very sensitive to space. No kidding. Sensitive to space. Spaces affected me. Cities affected me. Neighborhoods affected me. And I could always feel, but I couldn't put words to it, this deadness, this emptiness in the suburban, especially the suburban areas of Ontario. Everything looked perfect in many ways, prim and proper. There's enough park space allocated for all the kids, straight sidewalks, groomed lawns. Cookie cutter houses. Well, I was fortunate actually that I actually grew up in a neighborhood like that, but the housing project that we lived in was more like a social housing project, where I'm talking about more like a European type format, which had this kind of main courtyard in the center, and we had this really cool also patio courtyard per unit block. And it wasn't the typical driveway box house, driveway box house kind of model. So I think that that space really influenced me in a way. It kind of saved me from the monotony that was actually surrounding us. Okay, that's just a little window. That could be another podcast episode. Got to bring some photos, old family albums out to really do a study on that housing project. Okay. So I just always felt there was a kind of nothingness. And not in a good way, nothingness. Nothingness can be a good thing. A void can be a good thing. There can be magic. There can be mystery, right? Emerging out of a nothingness. But the nothingness that I'm talking about is soulless. The nothingness that I'm talking about is like something hasn't been talked about. Something's being covered up. Something's being ignored. And now, in my mid, towards my midlife, I'm realizing that a big piece of that was what happened. What I was feeling was what happened to our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Canada. A big piece of it was that. Of course, there's so many other layers that I could get into today, but I just want to use that as an example. And I'm going to get to the Beyond Green approach that I want to share with you today. It's all connected. In the last years in Canada, the Indigenous community discovered all these mass graves in residential school properties in various parts of the country. It was a huge shock, huge trauma, but many Indigenous grandmas and grandpas, survivors of the Indian residential schools, knew that there were children buried in these lands. And they were unmarked, these graves. And from my research and from a group that I've been supporting in Ontario, they said that the kids were very malnourished there. And they were indoctrinated, and they were taken away from their families in the name of religion, in the name of the Christian religion. It's a horrifying thing, and there's so many other things that have happened. There's I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, Tanya Takak. She is from Is she from Resolute Bay, from all the way up where the Inuit community live? She talked about how there's also a big population of Indigenous people that just got sent up north. I actually didn't know that. We didn't know a lot growing up in school. We were not taught. But they were sent up there basically to die. But they figured out a way to live. They figured out a way to survive in the coldest of cold places. It's a miraculous story. But what's happened is that truth has been hidden from us. And that truth for me is the feminine principle. So listen. So, of course, in Indigenous communities, there are men and women, all right? I'm talking about the principle, the feminine principle. And that is the feminine principle is the principle of I honor Mother Earth. I honor the world of spirit. I honor nature. I honor nature's wisdom. Okay, this is the voice of the feminine. This is the voice of the mother. This is the voice of the great mother. You could also say it's the voice of the great spirit, of course. And that great spirit, in my view, doesn't have, isn't a masculine or feminine energy. It's both altogether. But it's that principle of, I mean, who would take those children away from their mothers? That's the distorted masculine. That's the fucked up masculine. Okay? That's the sick masculine. So I just my body just in some ways there's a part of me that can't even take talking about it. It saddens me. It angers me. So I always felt this. I felt this. And yeah, this act of colonialism, right? That is what has happened all across the world. And this is actually so colonialism importing, right? A certain dogma, right? A practice, a religious practice, and a certain mindset, right? And imposing it onto a land with, of local cultures, of ancient traditions, right? Certain rituals were practiced, and the ways of honoring the land were practiced, and all of that was erased. savages, right? They're just savages. And I feel that out of this colonialism, there sprouted a kind of archetype. The word sprouting isn't actually the right word. It just, a certain kind of way of building and practicing architecture was generated, right? Out of that invasion. And so I feel that the conventional architecture practice is still very much a reflection of that. Why? Because we were never taught, again, this is more in Western architecture, but I can safely say that most universities all around the world still, even in the East, disregard, you know, do not take the feng shui practices as seriously. So this is the big missing piece. This is the beyond green approach that is going to bring about a kind of thriving and regeneration that will pave the way for the true new earth. Now, smart cities are being built, and you know, there's competitions for building a smart city. There's all kinds of incentives being given to builders and developers to build these smart cities. I want you to all be careful about the promise that smart cities are giving humanity. And one example that I want to talk about today actually is the line in Saudi Arabia, which actually I think fell through. It's not, that project is not going to be the 170 kilometer long linear city that they promised it would be. But before I dive into that project, I just want to, there's so much that's streaming through. I may be moving fast for you or not. I don't know. But in conventional architecture, we still do not have enough voices that are advocating the practice of connecting with the spirit of place, advocating the importance of honoring Mother Earth. There could be some architects who are just talking about it, but it's very different to talk about it than to actually do it. To actually do it and to actually consistently incorporate a spiritual practice into your architecture firm or office. So that's what the Sacred Blueprint is about. It is revolutionary. No one else is doing this work. And I'm just so excited to be imparting, sharing, and training other women architects through the certification program, because this is the new dawn. This is a movement that architecture really needs. And I will boldly say that a lot of women architects, they have done so much work. They've worked so hard to be like the men. And it's now time to rise in a different way, in a way where we're honoring the feminine principle. We're honoring the feminine way of creating. I would say Anna Haringer is one of a beautiful model for that. She, even just the way she dresses and creates her own, makes her own clothes, and the incredible heart-centered work she's done for the children in Bangladesh and many other parts and many other places in the world now, with her work with stunning natural building and clay earth architecture. But we're few. We are few, and she is not openly talking about working with the nature spirits. At least it's not, I mean, I would like to read her latest book, but I don't think that she's talking about that. And I'm here to talk about that, because that is really the missing piece. That is really the missing piece. And there are some, there's this book called Low Tech. I've mentioned this book in my online course before. Low Tech Design by Radical Indigenism. I'm showing the book here in the YouTube video. So, and there's going to be some images by the, I'll be showing some images of the line and the Indian residential schools I've shown. So make sure that you watch the YouTube video. The link is down in the podcast player description thingy. But this book, Low Tech Design by Radical Indigenism, there aren't that many examples of actual houses, building projects, but there's a lot of great examples about regenerative, you know, agriculture and traditional engineering, traditional structures building. There's just the wells. It's a really beautiful book. And in the introduction of the book, there is a, they do speak to the importance and the new, you know, the importance of actually working with the spirit of place. That the indigenous communities could not even separate the spirit of the place from their day-to-day lives, from the way that they honored the elements and listened to the wisdom of nature and nature's intelligence to actually be able to create these new technologies, these new systems supporting agriculture, supporting day-to-day life, their survival, but also their culture. So the importance of bridging spirit with form isn't just about making spaces more spiritual. It actually has a very practical function, a very practical function. For example, if you are building a building and you on a property and you have not taken time to be with Mother Earth, taken time to listen to the wisdom of the land, then you won't know where the nature spirit dwellings are. And for some of you who are just learning about nature spirits and going, Aisha, what are you talking about, nature spirits? Well, nature spirits are a part of building the physical world. They have been sent down from higher planes. In fact, they've sacrificed themselves and they have gone down into the lower planes of existence to build the world that we see, to build nature. There are nature spirits that are connected to the fire element, the earth element, the air element, the water element. And so nature spirits are a great example, and the Irish are really experts, I feel, with the nature spirits and their stories and their tales of nature spirits. But if you build something over a nature spirit dwelling, you're going to be in deep trouble. And talk about feasibility and practicality. If you build something over a nature spirit dwelling, your project can be set back forever, 50 years. You can lose money. You can get ill. You can have all kinds of permit and construction problems. It's like no matter how deliciously sustainable your project is, if you are not actually communing and connecting with the spirit of place and actually in a way receiving permission to build there. Now, when I say in a way permission, that's a whole other topic I want to get into. I'm going to be careful that, we are co-creating with nature. And in fact, human beings do need to be the ones in a way commanding and also leading the show. They listen to us, the nature spirits listen to us, but they will not listen to greedy people who are totally ignoring them, right? Who are building irresponsibly, who are building ugly things, who are building in a way that only thinks about their own benefit and their own profit. Okay. So you're gonna get in trouble. To get in trouble. And so you could put in millions of dollars into an incredible design, but if you are not connecting with the spirit of place and not understanding how Mother Nature operates, actually, then you're missing that big piece of the puzzle. And this is the Beyond Green approach that I'm talking about. And this approach is not in the future, it is the future. And it's an approach that will outlast AI. It will outlast AI because if you all of a sudden, if we go through some kind of a digital shutdown, well, where's your AI? I mean, okay, maybe you're going to be getting inserts somewhere, Okay, I hope not you, but be careful. Be careful about these things. And so, this approach of communing with Mother Earth and acknowledging the world of spirit is crucial, 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 for humanity's highest unfoldment. And it is empowering, and it's an empowering process, not only for the human being, for your clients, but also for the land. In fact, it liberates the land. In fact, it liberates the nature spirits because they've fallen actually down on purpose. They've sacrificed themselves and they are doing a great deal of work. Not saying that they're miserable. They're very much enjoying what they're doing. But they have been, along with the rejection of this feminine principle, they have gone into hiding. And it's our duty to bring them back through our love, our gratitude, and acknowledgement of them. We actually then bring them back into us before we die. This is some knowledge from Rudolf Steiner. But it helps us to become whole again. They are a part of us, the elemental realm. That's maybe the more correct way of saying it. The elemental realms are a part of us. But because we've rejected groups of people, we've rejected that truth, rejected groups of people who honored that truth for so long. And we've rejected that within ourselves. We've repressed that within ourselves. We've repressed the feminine principle within ourselves. We've repressed Mother Earth within from ourselves. We've severed her. This is not just about sustainable architecture. Okay, you can have the most amazing passive house. On paper, it could be an amazing model for sustainability. But if you are not allowing the design to birth through a co-creation with the realms of spirit and Mother Earth, then it's half-assed. And, you know, no matter how smart your home is or no matter how smart your city is, if you don't understand the way the water moves under the land, if you do not understand ley lines and how they run through the land, if you do not understand where power places are, power spots are, if you do not understand where vortexes are located, or if you don't even let's put those aside, the geomantic phenomena aside, but let's also go down to, you know, if you don't understand if at one point in history children were buried in the earth on a certain property and they've been hidden, and you want to understand why is this project not moving forward, well, because you're not understanding that there are actually thought forms and ghosts on the property that are actually preventing you from building your suburban development. Example. Or there could have been a war on that property. So this is the hidden realm. This is the spirit of place, the story of place that is crucial to investigate as an architect of the new earth. In the future, in the near future, there will be and I'm talking about the good, the true, the beautiful way. In that way, there will be no architects who do not acknowledge the world of spirit. This is not about what you believe in or not. This is not about a preference. And I know for some of you, the word spirit may still be triggering. The word God may be still triggering, because in the name of God, look at what they've done to our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Canada. In the name of God, currently there's war in the Middle East, as well as, well, I mean, there's more to it. It's not just the name of God for the Middle East, but I'm talking about Palestine and Israel. And I mean, there's so many wars, right, that have been fought, so many innocent children and families and mothers and fathers massacred in the name of God. So I get it. And the realm of spirit that I'm talking about, and the beings who are involved in animating that realm, in making that realm living, are benevolent beings. They are benevolent beings, and they're here to help us to build the new earth. I know if you're in this space as a woman architect, you know with every cell of your being that this is what you're meant to be doing. You're meant to be bridging spirit with form, and it's time for you to unleash your intuitive powers and confidently and boldly bridge spirit with architecture. So I was going to show you some images of the line. I'm going to do that now. I do have family coming over soon, so I may need to do a part two, but I'm going to show a couple images of the line in Saudi Arabia. But before I do that, if you are fed up with the grind of conventional architecture and you really are longing to build the temples of our future, and build a viable business, attracting amazing clients, amazing projects, amazing money through your intuitive gifts, being appreciated for your intuitive gifts, and creating the most incredible sanctuaries that emanate with healing frequencies. I want you to join my free live webinar on April 17th. It's at 5 p.m. Istanbul time. I will be sharing an exclusive resource that I don't share publicly there that has helped me to build my six-figure business. And I'm going to be sharing all kinds of an introductory taste of the Sacred Blueprint, as well as, sharing, you know, really what, sharing more about my story and how I birthed the Sacred Blueprint. And I'm gonna be giving you some tips also on how to cross this threshold, because I know that a lot of you are still really holding back from going full force into bridging spirit with form. You may be sprinkling a bit of fairy dust on some of your projects, maybe for some friends and families after hours, right? Doing your magic behind closed doors, but you are not fully ready to step up as a leader and weave your magic into your architecture practice. And I'm going to show you and tell you why you need to do this, why you need to do it, and that you will experience immeasurable fulfillment and success doing it. Okay, so I want to share, give me a moment here to bring up my screen. I'm going to share this line project briefly. This is an example of a project that is promising clean air, promising sustainability, promising a hopeful and healing future for humanity. But I'm going to share what I see on a spiritual level, what some of the problems with this project are. So I want to read an excerpt from the marketing video for the Line Project in Saudi Arabia. And it says, "For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities that ignore nature. Now a revolution in civilization is taking place. Imagining a traditional city consolidating its footprint, designing to protect and enhance nature. The line will be home to 9 million residents, built within a footprint of just 34 square meters or square kilometers, 34 square kilometers. We are designing it to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life." All sounds fantastic, doesn't it? The line is promises people that it will deal with the problem of urban sprawl and bring everyone into what is a very strict one line series of modules that are packed into a very, very tall, basically outstretched skyscraper in a horizontal format. But the height of it is mega, mega tall. I think it surpasses the height of the Empire State Building. And it has this mirrored glass on each side. Designing to protect and enhance nature. Okay, could be protecting nature. This is a great thing. I invite you to feel with your heart and soul the word enhance nature. Why are we enhancing nature? I want you to think about this. Sure, they start, "For too long, humanity has existed within dysfunctional and polluted cities." Yes, that's correct. That ignore nature. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for that. I'm also all for a revolution in civilization. Oh, yeah. So it's really speaking to the people, you know, in the world who do want to see change. who do want to break free from the conventional cityscapes, right? The conventional housing paradigm, even the constricting housing paradigm. We are designing to provide a healthier, more sustainable quality of life. Beautiful. Love it. And, okay, let's now continue to take a look at some of the images here of the actual project and what they're proposing. So this is the line. It's organized in three dimensions. All these cubicles are built within this long I want to call it a shard, but it's not shard shaped. Yeah, just this long, extremely long line, a box with glass on both ends that is highly reflective, and it is actually a mirror. And you can barely see it. This is kind of an image of what it looks on the inside. I will share the link to this marketing video in the captions below. Here you can see it is higher than the Empire State Building, mirrored glass facade. I want to get back to this one actually, regarding the sustainable systems, it's promising access to nature, equitable views. This is another image of it touching the ocean, the sea. It promises a lot of amazing things, and it also talks about automated systems. It will be run on AI. Which also means there's going to be surveillance systems as well. It says, okay, you don't need cars. I guess you're going to be traveling through train type vehicles. But when you look at the actual architecture, I want you to really feel it and look at the actual architecture here. Here you can actually not see it because of the reflection of it. Excuse me as I go through these. Okay, let's take a look at it like this. It attempts to disappear through this mirror, okay? And it's all organized within this one line. But the energy, okay, so let's first talk about the mirror part. And we're seeing some house projects and cabin projects actually in architectural magazines with this mirror concept. Well, first of all, just think about birds and how they're all going to be flying, you know, into the mirror. That's a whole other issue, right? That we see in cities and skyscrapers. Birds die because they whack themselves against the mirror. But it's saying, oh, well, we respect nature. We respect nature, and we want to make this architecture disappear. But the problem with that is that if from a perspective of a spiritual architect like myself, it is our responsibility as architects to be true, good, honest, and straightforward and real with the spirit of the land. The mountains that you see on the right-hand side of this massive city, smart city structure, they all have a soul, they all have a spirit. And they can all speak a language, and they are all connected to a complex and beautiful network of earth grids and dragon lines. And there are power spots, and there are water lines that run under this landscape. Yes, it's the desert, and they promise to bring lush gardens within the desert, which I think is a very actually honorable and beautiful thing to do. And there are many amazing sustainable visions that actually bring green to the desert. One of them is the Sekem project in Egypt, an incredible community that has been built in the middle of the desert, bringing richness and thriving and life back to the soil. But the desert also has a role, and it's not like greening the desert is always what we need to do. The desert is the desert. And there's a mystery to the desert, and there's a need for desert climates in order to have balance within the earth. Now, there's an argument that there's a lot of desert and that we need to make use of the land to bring more regenerative principles to the desert. That's a whole other conversation. But what I'm talking about is the life force that is already thumping and pumping through this land. Now, what the architects of this project and the developers of this project do not know is that where the ley lines cross through this, what is it, 170 kilometer long project, they do not know where the power spots are. They do not know that when these modules cross over geopathic stress, and you can get massive areas of energetically zones that are not healthy for humans to inhabit. You can cross over that zone, and there's going to be all kinds of problems with the technology within that certain section of the line. So it's such a paradox. On one hand, they're saying that they're doing this to honor nature. Well, they didn't use the word honor, but I don't remember exactly what they said in the intro again, but they are trying to leave room for nature and respect nature. But actually, this architecture is the epitome of ignoring nature. Also, this architecture, this city planning and city architecture is the epitome of ignoring the high laws, such as golden proportions and the need for humanity to have a relationship with the earth and the sky in a manner where they're not constricted into really what it looks like a prison, in my perspective. In the comments below, tell me what you think. Do you agree with me? Extremely constricting. Or perhaps you don't agree with me. Perhaps you see there's some benefits with this project. I'm always open to hearing different perspectives. And I know, I'm sure there are some positive aspects to these kinds of visions and projects. And in my opinion, they are used as a mechanism for controlling human beings. You can learn a lot more about how to live in the desert through the Bedouin than projects like this, and how to merge with the spirit of that place so that you evolve through your own human blueprint, technology, spirit technology that resides within your divine and sacred blueprint within. I'm not talking about going back into time and, we need to become, like Mormons again, right? Where we're riding horses and, there's no advancements in technology. I'm not talking about that. But what I'm talking about is, what is this architecture saying? The architects of the future need to be really able to train themselves to be able to read with their feeling realm and feminine principle realm, their intuitive realm, what the architecture is really saying. Okay, they're promising one thing, but the architecture is actually saying something else. And so the other thing about the problem with mirrors in architecture on the outside, okay, we see this, you see this in other magazines, I've mentioned this before, with other projects, is that it is highly reflective. And so what it in fact is doing is it's pushing nature away. It's pushing it away. The sound is bouncing off of it and being spit back into nature. And that's highly offensive for the nature spirits. And they also can see through the lies. They can feel through the lies. This is a lie. You are attempting, this is what they say, you are attempting to tell me that you are one thing, but really you are another. It's inauthentic. It is not show, it's hiding, actually. The other thing I want to go through, yeah, there's the mirrored glass facade again. I mean, and just kilometers and kilometers and kilometers. There's actually a street in downtown, in many parts of the city that I live outside of in Izmir, with horrible modernist, very tall, maybe like 12 to 15 story, 12, I would say 12 story buildings on a boulevard that actually give the same kind of feeling, except it's just like a normal traditional street, but because it doesn't have enough breaks in the actual mass of the street, you're not able to get the natural breezes from the sea, and it's so hot in the summer there. And they have completely destroyed the city. Modernism, in the name of modernism, the city has been completely destroyed. Beautiful old buildings have been destroyed with gardens and courtyards. That's another example of how the feminine principle, the spirit, has been completely eradicated and repressed and buried in urban planning. So I wanted to go to this image here. Year round temperature, microclimate with natural ventilation. This is a bullshit diagram. I mean, any of you sustainable architects out there, you know what I'm talking about. The minute you see cool air in, entering from the top, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but after all the years that I've been studying stack effect principles in architecture, cool air enters from the lower end of a building and gets pulled up naturally through the principle of stack effect from the warm air that is accumulating from the top. And I don't see anything that is like wind catchers or thermal chimneys, which were actually used in desert climates. And Hassan Fati, an architect who worked very much with the local traditions and local building techniques, as well as traditional, the spirit of traditional architecture, he was working with incredibly sophisticated thermal chimneys and wind catchers. And when you look at his diagrams, you're going to learn a lot more about what this diagram is attempting to communicate. Okay, so it's like, well, that's bullshit. That's not working. You don't understand actually how the elements really work in this design. So for those of you who it may be getting a bit nerdy for you, but cool air drops, hot air rises. And to have a successful stack effect, you need to actually have outlets below the foundations of the building to bring in that cool air from the lower part of the section of the building and the hot air, you need to figure out ways to actually draw the hot air up. The narrow quality of the building may naturally do that, but I question the effectiveness. But okay, fine. This is just conceptual. I'll give them that. And well, if you're telling us that this is going to be a sustainable model for a healthier way of living, well, at least get the mechanics or the principles right for sustainable architecture. Equitable views. Really? Question mark there. I'll just leave it. Is it really equitable? Access to nature, immediate access to the surroundings. Okay, right. You could have immediate access by not forcing all these boxes and cubicles and modules into this like one extremely long structure. I mean, it gives a very imprisoning feeling. This is monstrous. And this is an example of the masculine going nuts with high tech. And this is the danger. This is actually one of the shadow sides of the future masculine that we need to be careful about, because the masculine, a lot of them love their gadgets and their tech. There's a reason for that. The masculine force, the masculine energy can teach us a lot about tech, will help us advance with technology. But the divine masculine will be able to listen to the pulse of the mother and work with the natural electric forces on the earth and in the cosmos, and work with the natural spirit technology that already exists within us in order to help build a free society, and a society that has access to really nature's medicine and spiritual medicine to help us thrive and be abundant. But oh my God, there's so much I want to say here. I think there's some yachts here parked in the against this big mirror. Oh my God. Like, can you imagine the ocean creatures here? Like, how would they react? How would they react? You're just gonna like blast through the coral reefs with this like jutting mirror building thing. Oh my God. Okay. So I'm gonna wrap this up here. I feel like I have to do a part two on I'm gonna do a part two on smart cities. So keep a look out for that. But this project is the epitome. And I chose this project to show what the extreme can look like, but we've got to be really careful. And I want you to practice reading and feeling between the lines of what's promised. Take a look at the marketing video yourself. I'm going to add it to the description of this YouTube. And let me just pull down the screen here. Just hold on. All right, yes. So we got to do a part two for smart cities. There's so much to say. And yeah, before closing today's episode, I am delighted to invite you to my free live webinar where you're going to discover how to unlock your spirit architect mastery. The sign-up link, registration link is down below. And I would love to have you there if you are a high-achieving, spirit-conscious woman architect, landscape architect, or interior architect who is eager to learn how to successfully bridge spirit with form. You're longing to build the temples of our future, and you're ready to unleash your feminine magic and weave the world of spirit into your architecture practice. So I look forward to see you there. And again, I'm going to be offering, or rather sharing, an exclusive resource that I don't share publicly that's going to support you to actually build a viable business bridging spirit with form without the grind and stress of conventional practice. All right. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in today. And it's a revolution. It's a movement. And thank you for being a part of it. Mwah. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the New Earth Architect Dress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architect Dress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.